Dear ones, I'd like to, with God's help, turn to the epistle of Paul to the Galatians. I was going to read the second chapter, but I think the portion of the first chapter leads into it. So we can begin with verse 11 of chapter 1 and read the entire second chapter as well. Ljubavno želim da se pročita iz poslanice apostola Pavla Galašanima, prva glava, početak od 11. broj i drugu glavu isto da pročitamo. Galatians 1, beginning with verse 11 through chapter 2. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things that which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Then, 14 days after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as the Jews, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. There was much that was mentioned in the prayer that is really directly speaking to each one of us of the things that we need. It was mentioned that we need the sword, the word, which is the sword. We need faith, which is our shield. We need humbled. We need, dear ones, to be taught of God. And we see many of these examples, really, as I thought of it, as the brother was leading us, it's all right here in these chapters that we read. We see the sword at work, the truths of God. We see the shield of faith demonstrated. We see a man mighty as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ who is humbled. All of those things are necessary in our life. And those are the things that we pray for. We prayed, do thy work in time to save me who have strayed. So what is his work? And do I really want his work in me to save me from that which I have strayed from? Or strayed to, I should say. Because salvation, how I might look at it, we see here Apostle Paul writing to a group of believers. He expresses his astonishment to them. How could they have been removed from the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ so soon? And brought, he says, unto another gospel, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ at all. It's an imitation. It looks like it. It resembles it. Many similarities to the point that these additional things are just better. It's just better. It signifies a closer adherence, perhaps. And Paul is alarmed and astonished at what this group of believers is being led to. And he talks about what had taken place. And when we read this, dear ones, it's when Paul goes up to Jerusalem, he goes there and it tells us that he rebukes Peter. He rebukes him in front of everyone. He rebukes an apostle of Jesus Christ to his face. In other words, he gave him the sword, the truths of the word of God directly between his eyes, directly to his face. Others heard it. He didn't do it to shame Peter. He did it to humble him and to show him and to defend the truth of the single gospel that exists, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only true gospel, the only gospel that leads us unto salvation. And it's hard to read when we think of Peter, who was given to open the door to the Gentile nation, and the nations who were so troubled with all of the philosophies that man had come and taught, and all of the gods of various things that they were introduced to, and they saw the foolishness and the folly in those things. They were lost. They looked to the Jews and the Jews' religion as a way, as a means to perhaps find some kind of direction. But they're alarmed at the thought that they have to come to be circumcised in order to be saved. They didn't understand these things. And Christianity comes upon the earth, and Peter, with Cornelius, opens the door to the Gentiles. But that door is given to Paul to go and to preach and to bring the Gentiles to none other than to Jesus Christ and Him alone. When the Gentiles heard that salvation is being offered unto them, when they saw the truths and the love of God, how God loves them too, not just the Jews, that God gave Himself for them, that He empowers them to a life of holiness and cleanliness, they embraced these truths, and churches were created, and they loved the Lord Jesus, and they loved one another. And it tells us then that the Jews in Jerusalem, the Christian Jews, who somehow Jesus Christ is not enough for them. Jesus Christ wasn't enough for them. Because they've been given the law of Moses. They've been given the rituals for cleanliness. They were given all the ceremonial law and all those things, which really only... always were only meant to point to the truths that are revealed in Jesus Christ. That's all they were meant for. Well, Jesus Christ came. The truths were revealed in Him. All that the prophets had spoken had come to pass. We actually can read in Jesus when He's speaking to the It says, when He was speaking to the two, He says unto them, O fools. He calls them fools. O fools and slow of heart to believe. You're a fool because you didn't believe. You didn't believe what? You didn't believe all that the prophets had spoken. So these are the men, these are the women of old who came to the tomb, who saw that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. And he couldn't understand. And he says, you're a fool because this was all told to you. All you had to do was believe. Faith. Faith is the shield. Faith is the only thing that can give us an understanding of that which is spiritual. The human mind works completely different. You and I, when we learn what 2 + 2 is, we have to understand that, and then I believe it. 1 + 1 = 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Now I understand it, I believe it. That's not the spiritual truth. Jesus says, O fools, that you didn't believe what the prophet spoke. You and I cannot grow as a Christian unless we believe. And then when we believe, we will understand. Completely opposite. And those are the foolish things that block many from coming to Christ. To believe into something that they don't understand They turn away from it. They try to reason in their own ways the truths and the deep mysteries and knowledge of God, which is foolishness unto man. The cross of Christ is foolishness unto man. The Greeks looked at it as, why would the Lord come a man and give himself to die for sins upon a cruel cross? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't to a human mind, which works completely different than the mind of God. He said, my thoughts are way above your thoughts. My ways are way above your ways. You cannot understand my thoughts and my ways unless you believe. That's the shield. Put it on, my brother, my sister, my dear friend. Put on that shield of faith. That's what will fend off the fiery darts of the wicked ones of unbelief, where we see none other. You think that you're too good to fall, to stumble? Do you think that you're too faithful to stumble? Look at Peter. Look at Peter. One who had 3.5 years with Jesus, and he still failed, as all of them did. And Jesus shows him his love, his forgiveness. He brings him back and accepts him, forgives him, imparts unto him the Spirit of God. With his Spirit, he gives him absolute clear direction. And not only that, empowerment. He raised him upon resurrection ground where you and I stand. We are on resurrection ground. We walk in the power of Jesus Christ who lives in us, he says here. He says, I am crucified with Christ. I went to the cross with Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live. I am crucified. Nevertheless, I live. But not me. He says, it's Christ lives in me. We read later, Paul says, Christ lives in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ living in you. And he says, but Christ liveth in me. And he says, and now the life, this is now the sanctification. This is now a pattern of my life. He says, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, the life that I am living, because I'm dead. Peter or Paul is dead. Paul is crucified with Christ, and now I'm on resurrection ground in the power of the Spirit, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I now live is not a life of I do whatever I want. I'm in a time of grace and mercy. And I can live however I want. He says, the life I live, because I died. Paul died. The Paul that went and was persecuting the churches is dead. I was crucified with Christ. I went to the cross. And he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not annul the grace of God. I do not make the grace of God of no effect. For if righteousness was going to come by the law, then Christ died in vain. Why did Christ die then? If I could establish my own righteousness as the Jews in Jerusalem who had been converted to Christianity, who had come to Christ, who had come to love and know him, they now were going back to a pattern in which he's not enough. What do you mean? I just have to be humble. Let me do something great. Let me show my faithfulness by doing something, adding something. Yes, yes, you Gentiles, you come in, you must be circumcised. Hey, you can't eat that. You got to stick to these dietary laws of what you can eat and drink. They're reverting to something. They wanted a ladder that they could go rung by rung, climbing up to get to heaven. Look at me. I'm climbing the ladder. I'm doing something. See, you're not doing it. You better do it this way. Establishing their own righteousness. This is what righteousness looks like in their eyes, what they were saying. Forgetting that all of those things pointed to the perfection that is found in Jesus Christ. Paul says to the Romans, and this is really the essence of the gospel. And this is... Paul says, I didn't The law came by Moses. The law came by Moses. And Paul never says that the law is something that we should disregard. Because all of the law, the commandments that were given to Moses, are repeated in the New Testament. But the fulfillment, he goes, I had not known sin unless the law was given unto me. The law revealed the sin that is in me, he said. And though I lived above the equal, above all men in the Jewish religion, he found out he's just a sinner. Without hope in the world in which he was in, without any hope, persecuting the churches, killing brothers and sisters who devoted their life to Jesus Christ, killing them, putting them to death, making widows, making orphans, causing grief and sorrow and trouble in this life for many, because he was going to do what was right. And he says he says, owe no man anything. Do not own, and you know, we might say, I owe you $12. Let me give you my $12, because it says, owe no man anything. It doesn't mean that. Owe no man anything. He says, owe no man anything but to love him. That's what you owe your fellow man. Love him. When you love him, you will never defraud him. You will never do anything but love. And so he says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath what? Fulfilled the law. You see, love takes us to a higher ground. Love is the fulfillment. Love, we sing the song, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. What is that ground? Love. He says here, For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You want to fulfill the law? Love. How are you going to love? How are you going to love your enemy? How are you going to love the one who uses you? How did Stephen love Saul, who was holding the garments of those who were pummeling him with rocks, taking the very life away from him? How did he love him? He fulfilled the law with love. It's God's love. You and I cannot attain to it. You and I can't find it in human understanding and wisdom. You and I can't read it in the books unless it's the book that is before us. We have to seek it from the Lord Jesus himself. God is love. And God is the fulfilling of the law. Only having him, that's why Paul says it, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the Jews were making null and void the grace of God by adding something. You know, I'm going to talk openly here. And it's not meant to anything, because Paul spoke openly here. Paul spoke very openly, directly to the face of Peter. He says, what you're doing is wrong. He humbled him with what? Truth. Truth. You have strayed. What Paul now sees in Peter, again, a mighty apostle of God, not of his own strength, apostle of God, who Paul says, I didn't seek this out. We know that the apostles, the disciples, when they came together, that they, when Judas had fallen, that they cast lots and they picked Matthias to be one of the apostles. But that's the last we hear about Matthias. And I'm not saying that Matthias wasn't a good man. I'm not saying that he wasn't a good Christian. But was he really a chosen one by God? We never heard anything more about him. But Paul came. Saul was the replacement for Judah. Or Judas. And he says, this isn't something that I sought on my own. He goes, and I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't seek to learn anything through my own understanding. And let me understand, because he already did all of that. His own human understanding led him to kill men and women and children and leave them homeless and helpless and without a father and without. That's what his understanding led him to. He says, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I let the Spirit of God teach me. Why? He believed. When we believe, dear ones, God empowers us. He gives us his understanding, what it means. We no longer, you can sit here, my dear friend, who, I didn't get to listen to the sermons yet, but I saw last Sunday that both brothers, in the reading and the passages that they read, both preached about a call. God is calling you. You cannot say that I am just a lump of clay, and however God's going to form me, that's how I'm going to be. No responsibility is on me. All the responsibility is on God. I am just a helpless, lifeless lump of clay. If he wants me to be a Christian, he's going to call me. Well, he did call you right now. He called you last week if you were here. Every time you thought about God, God is calling you. And we hear it, you know, and God didn't call me. Well, what? He put up with you for 60 years and didn't call you? Of course he calls you. He puts up with you for 30 years and doesn't call you? He calls you. You heard of him. You know his will. When his will is made known unto you, do you think that he's not interested in you? If he's not interested in you, he wouldn't have made his will known unto you. And apostles are commanded, go and preach the gospel to the entire world. Why? Because he cares about you. He cares about his creation. Preach the gospel, the only means through which man can be saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you are just, what does Jesus say? O fools of heart, slow to believe all which the prophets have spoken unto you. You're slow to believe that Jesus Christ died for you. You're slow to believe that, yes, I might require your life from you this very night. Because you have forsaken me. You do not believe it. Your faith doesn't produce anything. You believe in me. But does that belief bring me into your heart? Does that belief take you to the cross where you die to this life and you resurrect into the newness of life with Christ in the power of the resurrection to live for him? This is the life of sanctification. It's like this narrow road which we follow on. And who do we follow? We follow Jesus on that road. Oftentimes, we think about it's really just like our lives are on a railroad. The narrowness of a railroad. And we are nothing and nobody. There's no way that I can justify myself through my works. Because I heard a brother speaking to another brother who says, you left your faith. What? You left your faith, he says. What's that mean, you left your faith? That means you are condemned. Why? Because you now go to baptisms and weddings that are open to the general public. You, when you were baptized closed. You left your faith as he climbed another ladder up the rung. Not realizing that he is, that God is the one who we follow. He is the one who empowers us. And we are just, we're linked together with him. He is that engine and that faith links us to, and he pulls us along. We follow after him because faith connects us to him. And that is a life of sanctification. It is not something that I'm going to tell you, this is what you must do in order to show your faith. Really? Where is that scripturally found? Because Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith that is in Jesus Christ. Love is the fulfilling of the law. not climbing this ladder where you're going to do something to show yourself as a faithful man. Look at me, everyone. Look at me. Yeah, you're no good. You're no good. And yet, what is liberalism? What is conservatism to me and to you? How would you define yourself? How would you define yourself? As a conservative or as a liberal? And what does it even mean? Peter was a conservative. And yet, what happened? The same thing, Paul now sees this same Peter by the fire, warming himself, afraid of a man. Afraid. Peter is now slipping, sliding, backsliding. An apostle of Jesus Christ who listened. And we have to understand what humbleness means. He listened to Paul. He heard him. He didn't tell him, yesterday you're killing Christians and now you're going to teach me? That's pride. He had no pride in him. The truth divides asunder. It cuts. It hurts. But it heals. It heals. He was wounded by the truth of the sword of the Spirit in order to be healed. And he writes in the closing of his Spirit-inspired epistle, he says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. This is what he thinks of Paul, the one who withstood him to the face. And if we would call it that, we would say, how dare you embarrass me in front of everybody? How dare you speak another gospel to somebody is what Paul is saying. And he was humbled. And he says here, and he says, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they do also, which they that are unstable, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Who rests with the scriptures? Who struggles with the scriptures? Ye fools, he says, who are slow to believe. Faith is missing. Faith is missing. And when faith is missing, that's that link that keeps us on the road, on that railroad, where God our Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, as we sang the hymn, the King, is the King of my heart. That faith which links me to him forever. Christ liveth in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. That's the life that I now live, the life that Christ lives in me. Is Christ going to walk down a liberal road? Is Christ going to add laws which only God could himself perform that miracle when he was crucified, that it was rent in two, that which separated into the holiest of holies. That curtain that was rent asunder, divided, opening up the way to you, to the Gentiles, to you and to me. We are Gentiles. We have no hope outside of him. No one does. The Jew doesn't either. And so Paul is writing here a rebuke to Peter, or we have written here a rebuke that is written to Peter. And what is the rebuke that the Spirit of God is giving to me and to you? Are we without rebuke? He says, if I build up again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. The very things that he's telling Peter, the very things that you spoke and brought the truths of God about and to, you are now turning to that. That makes you a sinner. That makes you a sinner. Dear ones, if we tell someone that you are justified by your works, climb this ladder with me, do what I'm doing, we're going to work. We're going to show everyone else what it is. Is that love? Is that a fulfilling of the law? He says, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? You're justified by Christ. I am justified by Christ. That means, what does it mean to be justified? You know, we go into the court of law. There's a law. The law pronounces us as guilty, or it will pronounce us as innocent. Justified means I am innocent. I'm innocent. God doesn't remember my sin. He doesn't know about my sin. I am justified by my faith in Jesus Christ. And so now, if I go and sin, he says, is Christ the transgressor? Am I making Christ to be a sinner? I've been justified by him. I've been sanctified by him. I am following in him. I am linked to him by my faith in him, and I'm going where he is going. I am not straying from this railroad or this narrow road that I am following him on. I'm not straying from it. The life that I now live, but Christ lives in me. I live by the faith. I live by faith. Faith is, you know, that's not my faith, we say. That's not my faith. What is faith? It's an evidence of things that are not seen. God reveals those things to me and to you. He reveals those things by faith. And you clearly know and understand. And that's when you can be a witness. That's when you can explain to someone what it means to be a Christian. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Now you can be the witness that God... Why did God design it that way? Those are his choices. Those are the things that he made, that the word of God would be given out by you and me. Where we go, what we do, how we say, what we live. We have to show that Christ lives in me. And so, dear ones, he says that through the hypocrisy, he actually called it to this dissimulation that he says is hypocrisy. He told Peter, you are a hypocrite. That's hard. That's harsh. He told an apostle of Jesus Christ, you are a hypocrite. Now, how did he speak? Truth is love. His only motive, the only motive that Paul had, was to save Peter and let God's glory shine forth. With that motive, you and I can speak truth. It doesn't harm. It humbles. And Peter was humbled in time to be saved. Sometimes it takes a harsh admonishment such as that. You are a hypocrite. Whoa. What does that mean? Do we make null and void the grace of God, that which is pulling us along through this life, his grace, which is given to us freely? Do we make it null, of no effect, by my climbing up the ladder, showing what I'm doing to be saved? Love is a fulfillment of the law. Do you love? Do I love? Is ultimately the question that we will be asked, because God is love. And when Christ regenerates us and brings about in us a new man, Christ living in me, love, living, moving, all my motives are for love of God. May he bless his word upon our hearts in this morning. Amen.
Certainly is a very full scripture and much meaning and lessons we can draw. I'd like to just simply acknowledge and express this experience that Peter had of being corrected. It was one that must have been sensitive and vulnerable for him to be corrected. But there was room in the apostle's life for growth, for learning. And this is also true for Apostle Paul. He says to the Philippians, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Peter needed to learn from the Lord. Paul needed to learn from the Lord. Both the one that is corrected and the one who does the correction needs to yield to the truth. Because the one that's corrected could resist the truth. The one that's offering the correction could keep silent and not bring forth the truth. And so both of them are really in this very vulnerable situation. What will they do? But they yield to the truth, both of them. And it's beautiful to see that what happens, what the fruitfulness that comes out of this sort of deference to the truth, this putting ourselves at down and allowing the truth to go forth. We see in Antioch, there was the first church where the believers were called Christians, where the world was looking at them and they said, "These are the people that are following Christ." It was a dynamic place with people of different nationalities. It was the place where Paul and Barnabas were sent out, where the Spirit was working and speaking to the church. And they were sent out to go establish churches. Things were happening. There was spiritual growth. There was vitality. And I think the two things go hand in hand. A deference to the truth. A willingness for the truth to take priority above our own pride and opinions and preferences. Allow the truth to have its free course. And then the spiritual life, the activity, the vitality, the work of the Spirit. And we each have room also to be a part of that. To be vulnerable, to allow the truth to take the preeminence rather than our own will and our own way. For Apostle Paul spoke to the Thessalonians, and he said, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." May the word and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit find a place in our hearts, and may we also give deference to the truth that we would abound more and more in the love of God.